What's up, my BC WrestlePod nerds out there? Welcome to another rendition of the Raw Squad Review, your weekly WWE Monday Night Raw review team. And we got a lot to talk about, so let's get through introductions real quick. I am El Jefe around these parts, Mikey. I am one of the three, yes, count them three, even though there's two on the screen, hosts of the Raw Squad Reviews. Joining me this week, looking fresh to death. Apparently, he got a haircut while he was in the basement. Mini.
I'm only here because Lucha Don decided to knock me out and come to SmackDown. So I locked him in the basement. I tricked him with the classic, most devastating move in all professional wrestling, the surprise roll up. and he's locked in here because he wanted to come on SmackDown and start, you know, talking shit about Raw. I'm like, all right, well, fuck you. I'm coming to the Raw show now, and I'm going to start talking shit because SmackDown's a better show.
I love it. So hopefully we shall see what happens with all that. Get back our hosts and regular scheduled programming. Unfortunately, we are missing our third co-host. He was going to make his debut this episode, but unfortunately he lost his voice, and getting sick kind of does that to people. So Macho, hopefully will be able to join us next week when he's feeling better. But shout out to the homie. We miss you. And we look forward to next week when hopefully you can debut. So let's talk about this Monday Night Raw, because I have a lot of questions in terms of what we're doing. Not necessarily bad questions, but we pretty much locked in a lot of the spots that we're still trying to fill for WrestleMania, as well as kind of there's certain stories being told. And I will say that when we get to Cody Rhodes, because that's probably what I'm going to end up spending a lot of time talking about, it did answer my question in terms of what I wanted to see with Cody's promo. But let's just get into the show, shall we? So, weirdly enough, we kicked off with the promo between Jimmy and Jay, which got like a couple, like eight minutes or so. And basically, Jay said, "Where you at, Jimmy?" Jimmy reminds Jay that he is the younger brother. The two have it out. And that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is like, hey, we're going to be in a match. Well, I still love you. Well, I've been here the whole time, but you want, fuck you. You left the bloodline and I'm going to kick your ass because I'm the big brother.
I mean, that's essentially what this promo was. I'm excited to see Jimmy versus Jay at WrestleMania, but they're like, okay, let's do this. Oh, okay, bye. I was like, all right, that was the segment.
But you know what? It was very precise, to the point, and they ended, and it wasn't 47 minutes long. Take that, Dwayne Johnson.
Hey, Rock, I mean, Minnie, you weren't there on SmackDown, but hey, The Rock only took like 22 minutes on SmackDown.
Do you think I still didn't watch SmackDown? Come on.
Fair.
I'm not like that lucha dork.
I mean, fair, but hey, somebody has to review SmackDown with me and the professor. So after this, we get our first match of the evening, which is a qualifier to see who would end up earning a spot in the six-pack ladder match for the WWE Undisputed Tag Team Championships. This saw DIY take it on the Creed Brothers.
Banger.
This match ruled so much.
Banger.
I have been a huge fan of the Creeds. I've been following them since they came, you know, debuted in NXT, and I was super happy to hear that they were getting called up to main roster. bro, like these boys are just monsters. The Kree's are absolute monsters, Vinny.
Oh, they were so good. I mean, he fumbled the one arm power bomb because he was trying to recreate what he did at War Games back when they were in NXT. He kind of dropped. I mean, he had to, but he still made it look really cool, really dope. The finish of the match, the reversing of the Brutus ball, the roll into the pin, and then they rolled it back, and then he got super kicked into the pin again. Oh, that was so cool.
This was a fantastic match, and I'm going to be kind of honest. I was kind of rooting for the Creeds here, but I'm happy that DIY ended up earning a spot, and so DIY is going to be heading into that six-pack ladder match. But man, this was a phenomenal match, and honestly, just from the wrestling standpoint of it, I really enjoyed this match, and this probably ended up being my match of the night, wrestling-wise. Now, spot-wise, we're going to talk about that a little bit later, but this is a fantastic first match of the evening. This set the bar. And you know what? We still had two more qualifying matches down the road. So we head backstage. Judgment Day and Andrade are still, you know, getting business together. So it seems that Judgment Day is going to have some business for Andrade. And Damian Priest comes in. He's kind of like not too happy that Andrade is talking to Judgment Day, which then prompts everyone just like hating on JD and Dom. Well, JD for not taking care of business. And so Dominic is going to take care of business tonight by making sure that Ricochet gets put down, which Dominic isn't too happy that he has to go do this, but he says that he's going to, which sets up our match later in the evening. I am actually really excited to see what ends up happening with Andrade and Judgment Day. I think there's a lot of intrigue there.
Like three rumors about it. I've heard either he's just going to wind up joining. He was going to have a feud against Dominic within it, or he was going to pull Dominic out of Judgment Day. And so those are like the three like outstanding things I've heard about the Andrade Judgment Day.
I'm very curious to see which direction they head, but I like all three of these, honestly.
I'm curious.
Right. So from here, we get a very short women's tag team match. This is Kaden Carter and Katana Chats taking on Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell. This match served the purpose as what we got last week. Candice going full here.
Dude,
so
crazy.
Oh my gosh. So last week was a lot. This week was also crazy as well. So Katana like faked that she hurt her knee during this match, which then prompted Candice to beat the living daylight out of it and to make her tap for the win. And Indy's like, I don't know what we're doing anymore. Like, what is happening? But
it was like, I got dragged into here and I'm scared about what's going on.
That is nuts. And I mean, it served its purpose. So I'm here for heel Candice. I honestly am.
I'm scared about what's going to happen. I don't know what she's going to do. I feel like she's going to either, like, I don't know. I feel like she it might turn into her trying to stab somebody.
You know, I mean, that's actually, that'd be kind of interesting. We'll see how far they let Candice go, because I'm interested to see what kind of heel they're going to push Candice to be. So then, after a recap of what happened on SmackDown with the Rock concert, we get into our promo from Cody Rhodes.
You know, this wasn't bad.
For me personally, I feel that this promo answered two of the biggest criticisms that I had with this whole build so far. One, Cody kind of put the final nail in the coffin, so to speak, hopefully, and this is the last that Rock and Cody will be going back and forth with all of this. Because Cody, this is what I wanted to see. I wanted to see more intensity from Cody, and by George, he gave it to us for sure.
Yeah.
The fact that he went through this and called Rock an asshole, he called him Roman side chick. He said that he has LDS, little, you know, D syndrome.
That was fun. Like, that was fun.
Called him a, like, a carny succubus. I'm just like, dang, Cody did not hold anything back. And hopefully with this promo, this got the intensity. This is hopefully the end between Cody and Rock going back and forth, because then this promo set up what I've been wanting for this whole thing. Oh yeah. I'm like, Cody, aren't you facing Roman too?
Yeah, you're supposed to, you know.
Which is when Paul Heyman comes out, interrupts Cody, basically tells Cody that him and Roman are going to be face to face. But Paul Heyman came out to say that Roman's going to come alone and that Cody needs to come alone as well. Which I'll wrap this up into the next part. Seth and Jay throughout the rest of the evening separately tell Cody that, you know, the bloodline's not going to play fair. But Cody says that he gives them his word anyways, that he knows this, but he still wants to honor that. So Cody, as of right now, is going to SmackDown by himself. The promo itself, I think, was phenomenal.
The face thing.
Yeah, he's doing the face things. He's like, hey, man, I said that I was going to come alone, so I have to honor it. But this is the promo I wanted from Cody. One, to give me the intensity that we've been missing from Cody, but number two, reminding me and everyone else, oh yeah, I forgot, you have a match with Roman because you won the Royal Rumble. We've been so focused on this tag team match that we've kind of almost forgotten to build up to this match between Roman and Cody on night two.
Right.
But this was an absolute fire promo. The
big issue of like, hey, don't you forget that like Cody's supposed to fight Roman. Roman hasn't said shit and Cody's barely acknowledged him.
Now, I'm hoping that when we get to SmackDown on Friday, that we take it to the next level for this match between Roman and Cody, because we need it. At the time of this recording, we are 18 days away from WrestleMania Mini. Holy crap.
We're really that close.
We're really that close. We got like about less than 2 weeks left. It's going to be crazy bananas.
So much.
It really is. So from here, I already kind of discussed it. We get a quick backstage promo from Nia Jax, and we get one from Becky that, you know, talking about everything leading into this main event that we're getting between the two of them, which we'll talk about at the end. I gotta talk about WWE really quickly. I appreciate, and I don't know if it's because now they merged with TKO and whatnot, but I appreciate that WWE's television has been slowly getting more sports-centric. I mean, on Raw, we have Pat McAfee giving us the play-by-play with the recap machine.
I thought that was funny.
But, and we'll talk about it when we get to a certain segment, but I am actually really loving the continuous shots we're getting for some of the segments. It's like from...
We get to that Sami Zayn bit.
That Sami Zayn bit leading into the awesome truth bit, like we'll talk about it, but I like how WWE is going more sports centric with their stuff, and I think it's fantastic. So from here, we get another singles match. This time, Dominic is trying to rectify the mistakes that JD McDonagh failed to do last week, and Dominic is facing Ricochet. Now, I've said this on multiple occasions. I want more from Ricochet. And I've got to be honest, this match was kind of giving me Ricochet, giving me Prince Puma vibes a little bit.
You know, where's Ricochet on this? Like, where is he going to be on Mania?
I mean, which is interesting because last year he was a part of Mania because it was him and Braun Strowman in that showcase, which ended up being a banger.
The match is awesome.
It's so good. But yeah, I don't know where we're going to. I don't know where he's going to end up. Now, the match itself between him and Dominic, I thought was pretty good. And I thought it was fantastic.
And what it was, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a match to have a match, honestly. I'm happy that Ricochet got the win. And then as Dominic and JD tried to attack him afterwards, again, he channeled his inner Prince Puma. And he ended up, high-flying it out of there. So if this is a feud that we're going to have between JD and Dom and Ricochet, I'm here for it. I'm very interested to see how Judgment Day handles it next week. They're like, bro, you guys lost again to Ricochet? What is happening?
Well, Dom just got married. He can't, you know. Oh, wait, the canonically is not happening in WWE. I forgot.
Yeah. That should be an interesting thing for sure. So after this match, we get a backstage segment where Sami Zayn and Chad Gable are kind of, Sami is about to make his way to the contract signing between his for his match between him and Gunther. And Chad is kind of being a whiny little about it.
Like heel Chad Gable.
Oh, heel, for sure.
Heel Alpha Academy.
I mean, it seems to be the direction that we're heading in. But I'm not sure basically, how I'm gonna feel Sammy's
about like Akira Tozawa.
I know Akira is hilarious, but I think we might just get just heel Chad because Chad was being heel in all of this. But he basically tells Sami Zayn, "It's like, look, I have nothing to say to you." Like he didn't want to say it, and Sammy's like, "No, say it, bro, say it." And he's like, "All right, you can't beat Gunther," and then he leaves. Which then brings us to our contract signing for the Intercontinental Championship match at WrestleMania between Gunther and Sami Zayn. Gunther continues to play his mind games where he basically tells Sami that the world believes you, but I know that I'm going to beat you and you can't do it. You don't have that intensity anymore, which then prompts Sami to get upset and fire back at Gunther as Gunther is leaving after the contract is signed. And so Sami says he's going to make him a believer and then leaves. So now this is where we're going to talk about this sports kind of lens of filming, because this is where we get the crazy continuous shot, which I love. So the camera follows Sami Zayn as he's leaving the stage, and then he goes through Gorilla, goes through the backstage. The cameraman's following him and stops about halfway between, you know, the hallway and where everybody else is. So Sami leaves and the cameraman just stops because then he puts Awesome Truth and DIY into frame. So that part was fantastic. First of all, the first half of this continuous shot, Awesome Truth and DIY are backstage. They get a run in with Indusher, who go to the other direction to get ready to enter. And then the cameraman follows Awesome Truth as they hit a remix of R-Truth's theme song. Still continuous shot.
It was dope. It was dope as hell.
It was so good. And like, I'm weird because like I pick up on the weirdest things, but continuous shots like that are some of my favorites. And I like that it feels like it's a real promotion. You have everybody in the front, you have a backstage area, everything is interconnected. We're not getting like 50 million jump cuts like before.
Oh, dude, what's his name? The original guy that used to do this shit? Fuck him.
I don't even remember anymore, but like, I hated all those jump cuts. I felt like my brain was hurting, but I love this new direction that we're heading with the continuous shots, which then leads us into our next match. We have our second six-pack tag team ladder match qualifier between the Awesome Truth and Indusher. So Miz and R-Truth taking on Indusher, so our big, you know, Indian boys with Jinder Mahal in tow.
The guys that haven't been on camera in
what seems like forever.
Right.
I thought the match did what it needed to. R-Truth is a national treasure. We must protect him at all costs. I still love that he's doing the John Cena Five Moves of Doom as his moveset. And the funny bit is, yeah, he gets knocked out. He lands on the opponent, which then has Awesome Truth get picked up the victory because R-Truth landed on someone after getting knocked out.
Yeah, so, that's how seriously they take this group.
Seriously. So Awesome Truth wins this match. They are now heading to WrestleMania to be a part of the six pack ladder match. I'm excited for Awesome Truth to be in this match. I think R-Truth is about to give us some fun moments.
I don't know if R-Truth should be in a fucking ladder match. He's 50 years old.
I mean, safety is always a concern, and I totally agree with you there. But as R-Truth has shown us, like, he can still go.
Or I'm he just absolutely hope- can still go.
And plus, with 12 people in the match, I feel like there's enough people that are going to take care of R-Truth if needed, but I don't think he's going to need it. Because that's a lot of bodies in that ring. There are 12 people in this match. It's going to be nuts. So we get the second backstage promo with Sami Zayn and Chad Gable. Because now Sami's upset. He goes to Chad. It's like, bro, you need to tell me right now. What do I have that I'm missing in order to be Gunther? And Chad says, see, the problem is with you, Sami, is that you are an underdog. That is all you ever known. And what's there, what Gunther just did, he's playing mind games with you. You've always been the underdog in the situation, crawling your way out and taking every opportunity. But now you need to smarten up and you need to get a little more vicious, because Gunther is going to crush your dreams and you're not going to be able to underdog your way out of the situation if you do not change how you approach the situation, which prompts Sami Zayn and Chad Gable to leave in, you know, their respective directions. So do we think Sami Zayn is going to start being a little more vicious in order to get himself ready to face Gunther? Well, let me rephrase it. Do we want to see a more vicious Sami Zayn?
That's also, I mean, yes, we always want to see more viciousness in our wrestlers sometimes, but it's a good question.
So now we get, yeah, so I don't know. I'm very interested to see in the next 2 weeks what Sami does in order to get ready to face Gunther, because we got 2 weeks left, so we need to start building some motivation here, because we kind of waited a little bit to pull the trigger on Gunther's opponent. Now let's talk about this other promo we got. So Drew McIntyre comes out before he gets to say a thing and he's still on the ramp. Seth Rollins interrupts with his music. Both of them end up going down to the ring. Minnie, I feel like I just saw this promo not even a week and a half ago. Like, I felt that we just saw this promo on another episode of Raw.
Yeah. It's the same. Yeah.
It ended up being the same thing we got like 2 weeks ago. And this is where I could start to see solely focusing on Seth and Cody versus Rock and Roman has definitely taken the momentum out of building between Seth and Drew's match at WrestleMania.
And the funny thing is like everything Drew was upset about and being a heel about is absolutely correct.
I know. I was just like, I can't disagree with Drew here. I'm kind of, he's speaking my language, so to speak. It's like, he's saying the things that we've been saying.
I can't be mad at him for it, because he's like, yeah, it's, you're absolutely right. These are the things you should be upset about.
So I'm just like, honestly, I'm kind of rooting for Drew to take the title off of Seth at this point.
I don't know. I don't know who I want to win. I feel like it's going to be a dogfight. Or I feel like, here's what I think it's going to, I'm going to do an early prediction here. I feel like it's one of two things are going to happen. Drew will win. Or CM Punk is going to mess it up and Drew's not going to win. It's going to set up a year-long feud between Drew McIntyre and CM Punk for the title.
You bring up a good point.
Because I don't think Punk cares if he wins the main event of Mania. I think he just wants to wrestle the main event of Mania.
Right.
So we could get like a CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre in Mania at Mania 41.
You know, I can totally see that. Yeah, this is tough. I'm kind of rooting for Drew, but I also really like Seth. But I feel like that's the same opinion I have on a lot of these matches, where I like the participants we're getting. And it's really hard for me, but some matches are easier of who I want to see win. But yeah, I'm kind of rooting for Drew here, but my biggest issue with this promo was I felt like we just saw this 2 weeks ago. But
yeah, I mean, but we're probably going to see it next week and the week after, and they want to put them on the card.
I'm very interested to see if CM Punk is going to play into something next week, because we are in Chicago next week for Monday Night Raw, and we did get word that Punk is going to be returning. Now, the question becomes if he's just going to go out there, do the Chicago thing, or if he's going to be trading word/bars with Drew or anybody else for that matter.
He probably will. Drew's probably going to wind up coming out.
Probably. So we leave this a segment and we get our final six-pack qualifier for Raw. So this is the last team that's going to be representing Raw in the six-pack ladder match at WrestleMania for the tag titles, where we see the New Day, which is Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston, taking on the team of Alpha Academy, which is Akira Tozawa and Otis. Oh my God. When Otis, like, not figuratively, but literally gut checked Xavier, like literally had him bounce off of his stomach, I'm like, oh my gosh. I think I'm like, Minnie, we found the human embodiment of Kirby.
Yeah. Otis is my favorite big boy.
Otis is so fantastic. Can we talk about the hype that Akira Tozawa got when he did the backdrop?
Okay. Akira is one of the most athletic dudes on the roster. He just weighs like...
Ooh. You were muted all of a sudden.
I don't know what happened. I didn't click anything. My keyboard's not even close to me. Akira is like the surprisingly like most athletic, like one of the most athletic dudes on the roster. He just weighs like 95 pounds.
Not even just weight wise, but like they even showed it back in slow motion. I'm like, how did you manage to get all that? Oh my God.
It was insane.
I was like, I wonder who gets more height, him or Montez Ford.
Montez.
Probably. But now I need a scientific study to prove it. Darby Allin.
He needs to go see a chiropractor.
Yo. Tune in to the Dynamite review this week because it's going to be a special Worlds Collide episode because Dynamite and Rampage are happening on the same night. So the Dynamite and Rampage boys are going to be reviewing that together. So stay tuned later in this week. But outside of Otis literally gut-checking Xavier and Akira Tozawa, defying gravity, it seems like, the New Day do pick up the victory. And so the New Day has secured the final spot for the Raw tag teams in this. So as of right now, because we still got to determine our SmackDown teams, in the six-pack ladder match for the titles at WrestleMania, it is the Judgment Day, DIY, Awesome Truth, and the New Day. Hopefully on SmackDown, because we have our first like final qualifier, we'll see if of Legado del Fantasma or New Catch Republic, which is Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne, are going to earn that spot. And then who's going to get the final spot for SmackDown, which is going to be very interesting to see.
I don't know.
I'm really hoping to see Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate at least have one of those two SmackDown spots.
It's probably going to be New Catch. And what's the other tag team in SmackDown I'm thinking about?
Because I'm trying to figure out who else we have.
Aren't the losers going to fight, right?
So, okay. So SmackDown's doing it a little bit differently. So they are having, there's eight teams that, there's eight teams that they have right now, I think. So what they're doing with theirs is that they're having matches in like brackets. So four teams in a bracket. The winners of their matches go on to face each other, and the winner of that second match in the bracket will earn the spot for SmackDown. So like this week we had LWO versus Legado beat them. We had New Catch Republic taking on Pretty Deadly, and New Catch won. So New Catch Republic and Legado is going to be facing off. The winner will go on to the six pack, which means that we have the other teams, which is the Suit Profits and the Final Testament, with the Authors of Pain, are going to be fighting.
Oh, and so, I think that match might just end up turning into a straight up match at Mania.
I think we're getting some sort of street fight between
New Testament versus full whatever Suit Profits' full name is.
Suit Profits / the Pride. I think we're getting a whole street fight between those because that's the only thing I can think of. Get Bobby Lashley a match at WrestleMania, darn it.
Right. So that's why I think that fight might just end up being like, it might end up like one of the Imperium New Day matches. Speaking of,
it's a whole street fight.
Imperium in the
That's what I said. I'm like, what's going on with Imperium? How come they're not qualifying for the tag title match? That's really weird. I wonder if someone got hurt. I hope not.
I don't think so. We haven't seen anything.
Yeah. But again, New Day pick up the win here, and those are the four teams representing. We have our three from Raw, so now we just got to wait for our two from SmackDown, which means we have finally reached our main event for the evening, a last woman standing match between Becky Lynch and Nia Jax. This match went 18 whole minutes through two commercial breaks. This was probably my favorite match of the night in terms of spot fest, because my two favorite parts were the manhandle slam onto the table that Becky gave Nia Jax, and then an ode to Billy Gunn himself, Becky Lynch with the Fame Asser onto the table for the win.
I like the Samoan drop on the chairs.
Oh, that was beautiful too. This was a phenomenal match.
Like, I normally, you know, I hate on Nia Jax. I know that's the one of a few things that me and the Lucha Dork get right, agree on, is we don't like Omosa, we don't like Nia Jax. But you know what? Her past two matches that she's been in, the one against Rhea and this one, she's getting better. I'm going to give her that. She's getting better.
Absolutely. And I think this type of match suits Nia Jax a lot better too, because it doesn't require a lot of wrestling. But this is probably a fun match, and this was my favorite match in terms of how much fun I had watching it, just because I love me some good propensity for violence. The Samoan drop on the chairs, the manhandle slam onto the table, the Fame Master from the ladder onto the announcer's desk. This was fantastic. And here's hoping that now we've kind of wrapped up Nia Jax and Becky for a little bit, because as Becky is barely able to kind of take a breather and celebrate in the ring as she's sitting there, we hear the music of Mommy Rhea Ripley. So Rhea Ripley comes down, and Monday Night Raw goes off the air as Rhea and Becky are kind of having a face-off and yelling at each other and whatnot. So it seems now that we're done with Nia Jax, Becky can spend the next 2 weeks focusing solely on Rhea.
Yeah, and hopefully we can see. I know Mommy did the licking the tongue thing, and I want her to win.
I mean, honestly, I think Rhea's retaining that title. I
feel like she should.
I think she should, because do you know how much over she would go if she was able to beat Becky in that match?
She already is super over, but imagine how much more over she will
be. Exactly. Beating Becky is a huge deal, especially since Becky is considered as like one of the top women's, you know, talent.
She beat Charlotte.
She beat Charlotte last year, so she... Rhea retaining would do more for both of them than if Becky wins, because my biggest fear is if Becky wins, the universe is going to turn on her, and I don't want to see the universe turn on Becky.
I think I think Rhea is too over for her to lose right now. I feel like it has to be somebody like Tiffany Stratton or like an up and comer that needs to topple Mommy in order for like the push to be legit, like for them to work.
Absolutely. All right, Minnie, so we have made it to the end of Monday Night Raw for this week. So last thing we gotta do before we do our housekeeping is we gotta rate this thing. So for the Monday Night Raw on March 18th, 2024, what do you give this on out of a scale of 10?
You know what? I'm going to give this one like an 8. It was a very solid Raw. It was a very good Raw. We're closing. We're tying off knots, minus, you know, what the actual results are going to be for Mania. Everything, they're putting everything together, and they're getting it together early enough so we can get the anticipation for these matches instead of being like, oh, shit, we have a pay-per-view next week. Oh, here's the card. The card is almost full. We have a couple more smaller matches that we need to get situated, and who else are going to get on the card? A battle royal. Like, they might bring back the Andre the Giant battle royal or something like that to get other people on the card. But I'm happy. You know, everything looks like it's going really well.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I'm also going to give this an 8 out of 10. Again, I talked about all the things I like, some of the nitpicks I have, but we are slowly kind of closing the feuds that we had like prior to Elimination Chamber and a little bit afterwards. And now we're all fully full steam ahead to WrestleMania. Again, at the time of this recording, we have 18 days. We have 18 whole days. And by the time that this video airs, it will be officially 17 days. So we are inching ever so closely to WrestleMania. Oh my gosh. So you're going to want to stay tuned in the next 2 weeks because I'm going to be making some huge announcements about BC WrestlePod and the WrestleMania weekend and what to expect for the reviews then. So that's going to be crazy. So before we get on out of here, let's do a little bit of housekeeping. If you enjoyed this review, you could check out other reviews here on the YouTube channel. Or if you can't commit to our beautiful faces, you can now take us on the go as we have audio versions of our reviews in audio podcast format. It's super fantastic. Do you want to hang out with us and interact with us outside of YouTube? You can check us out all over the social medias at BC WrestlePod. We are on the Facebook, the X, the Instagram. We are on Threads. We have a TikTok. And if you want to see a one-stop shop of all of those, we are also partnered with Next Level, where you can check out our link in the description below and in our bio. Check out a profile as well as to see how you could possibly win a full paid trip to night two of WrestleMania. Details in the description in our Next Level app. Let's go.
Hey, I'm going to answer that.
I mean, the Next Level boys who, you know, were nice enough to invite us to be ambassadors for them did say that any of the Biconics boys could do that. So it's not too late. But of course, if you want to interact with us live and in person, the BC WrestlePod boys are taking a trip to New Jersey and we will be live at New Jersey Wrestling Convention, New Jersey Wrestle Show on Saturday, May 18th and Sunday, May 19th. We'll be having a table there, so come say hi, buy some merch, and just hang out with us. We want to interact with you guys live and in person, so make sure that you check us out. Me and Minnie are going to get up on out of here because we got other things we got to take care of. El Jefe has to go watch NXT in a little bit to prepare for the review tomorrow, as we're also getting ready for Stand and Deliver. But for myself, Minnie, Macho, and the rest of the Biconics boys, remember, take care of yourself. Love one another, stay Biconic, but more importantly, like Cody Rhodes, you deserve to finish your story. We will see you next week for another exciting Raw Squad review. But until then, ta-ta for now.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another Vibe Tribe production. What's going to happen next time? Well, you're going to have to tune in to find out. But until then, remember, take care of yourself, love one another, and as always, make sure that you keep the good times rolling. Thank you for being here, and we'll see you next time.